This morning's followed by pleasant afternoons. Low 70s, mid 70s the rest of the day. Overnight, upper 40s, low 50s. Low to mid 70s, thirsty afternoon. We're back into the middle and upper 70s. Friday, sunshine. And then Saturday, near 80 with a sunny to partly cloudy sky. Lower 80s, but dry on Sunday. Ralph Sanji, WGSO. Twin Fest Louisiana, a festival for twins. Arts and crafts, food, games, and activities with music, a twins two-step second line with a brass band, contests. The Kid Zones will have twin trivia, a petting zoo, horseback rides, train rides, story time, and baby gators. Saturday, April 6th, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. downtown Houma. To get more details, click eftwins.com.
Welcome to the Food Show. It is the Wednesday edition in this last week of March. Cannot believe it. Simply, there's so much I can't believe. I cannot believe that either. 5 days ago, my dog was really good. Anyway, we're going to be talking about food, as we always do. We were kind of hoping to have Stan with us today, back in the saddle, but he said he's not ready to come back yet. So
The phones aren't ready to back yet.
That's
either.
Right. That's right. I keep forgetting. How does one do a talk show? I should probably tell Stu about that.
Yeah, that would probably be a good idea. Well, yeah. They've been coming on and off. And they've been,
they never seem to be on during our show.
Well, they don't stay on for very long. Like, I've been timing it, and so far it's been about 9 minutes, and they stayed on. And then they went off for about 20, and then they came back. So they're not on long enough for anybody to do a show, but that shows us that they're working on it, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's good, I guess.
You remember the days of rabbit ears?
Rabbit ears. Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. BJ and I were talking. It's like there's these two guys working on the phones, and one of them standing somewhere, and the other one is standing, saying, okay, move a little that way. Okay, yeah. No, wait, uh-huh. That's not it. Go back. Yeah. You know? I think that's what they're doing.
Oh, my gosh. Patty, are you prepared to kind of like jump in and, you know, finish it out if I need to? How do you do that?
Yeah.
I know that's not ideal, but I'm going to try. I mean, as luck would have it, I don't know. You know, I feel like this is a dance that's already preordained. So maybe everything will go down exactly good. So just accept the fact that I'm going to spit out 5569696 a bunch
okay.
of times because I just am programmed that way. We went and had a usual beautiful day sitting at La Carreta, and we just love it when it's nice like that out there. And our doggy comes and he stays in the car and he watches us eat, and we slip him some tortillas with the queso on it. He likes it as much as we do. And it's good. It's a nice way to spend a couple of, or 2 hours sometimes. 2 hours, Tom gets his flan and all is well. So I saw at the store today the Gambit Dining issue, and I thought I would kind of pick that up and see what that implies for, I don't know. Tom was always really, really, really a stickler for not featuring restaurants because they were advertisers. That was sort of an anomaly, though, I think. So I'm not sure if the restaurants listed in here in their restaurant list are all advertisers. I think it is. So that leaves out a whole bunch of restaurants, and most of the ones that are in here are ones that we already know about. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at all of them, and 14 Parishes is the first one, Patty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Almas Goof is on here. Let's see if there's anything else that is a surprise. The Bocce Kitchen. Don't know about that. Baroness on Barone. Isn't that the one with the... What's that one? It's kind of weird. What's the story on that? Baroness on Barone? It's like... Isn't it like next to a strip club or something like that?
No.
What's the deal on that?
I think it might be next to a place like that. But Baron, yeah. It's owned by... can't remember, Camille Whitworth, who used to be on TV.
That's right. Yes.
And she also does, like, for bachelor parties and things, she does...
So it's like a venue.
It's a craft cocktail, and she has a bar... She has a pretty good food menu. I understand she got a great burger. I've had a couple of people say they had a great burger there. But it's only open in the evenings. They have happy hour prices, and she's got a chef who keeps the food coming out and pretty good. And then they do craft cocktails. And then in the building next door, she does a venue like for bachelor parties or groups. She does bartending parties where you can come and learn how to make famous New Orleans drinks like the Ramos Gin Fizz and Sazerac.
How long
and
has
like that.
She's had it for a while?
She's had it for about
quite a while.
Yeah,
like seven years.
Yeah.
I remember hearing her say that. I thought, wow, okay. So yeah, this is kind of like the usual suspects, and I'm guessing that there are others that I'm a little surprised aren't in here because, you know, they would be new and hip. But this is. Barrows is on here. Baru. Bearcat. Have you been to Bearcat?
No, I just passed it today for the first time. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of people sitting. It was beautiful weather, so they had a lot of people sitting outside.
Yeah. There's a place called Carmo that we've had on the show that I'm kind of fascinated by. I don't know if they have their place still that is... it was in the New Orleans, the Historic New Orleans collection, and I don't know if they still have it, but it's part of that little group, and I think that they are kind of hybrid restaurants with other things too. It's kind of like a complicated situation. Clessy's, didn't we have them on, Patty?
We did. I like Clessy's. Yeah,
on. You go there a lot, huh?
We do this time of the year. Yeah, we do because it's great seafood. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much all they have, I think, is seafood.
Yeah, I think it's boiled stuff. Yeah.
And they have fried. They're the ones that fry the whole shrimp, the head and all.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I guess if you're not eating fried foods, that would work, because you just peel the shell off. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you're not supposed to eat the shell, too, because Tom was advocating that at one point, I believe. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, of course, the requisite mention of Dakar Nola is here. Let's see. One of your favorites, El Gato Negro. One of Sherry's favorites, El Pavo Real. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Espiritu. Did you ever go there? It's in the Warehouse District.
No.
Espiritu. And I don't really know what it is. It's supposed to be quite good, actually. Oh boy. There's a pickleball bar. Try saying that.
Wait, what?
The Exchange Pickleball and Bar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the name of the place. Yeah, they have, I'm looking at this, I mean, it tells me that this is, you know, an advertisement thing, because I know all of these places. I've heard of all of these places. And if it wasn't, they'd be a million more of places I've never heard of. So your Lufu is on there, Patty. Lufu.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the... Ah, there he is. What's the Louisiana Cafe? Okay, Patty, take it for a second. I need to go help my dog. Okay.
I think the Louisiana Cafe is fairly new. It's a cafe that was opened by Riley Foods. And they're the ones who handle Louisiana coffee. And what they did was they opened up a little breakfast place. They sell their coffee, their Louisiana coffee, and their CDM coffee. And then they have little breakfast pastries and breakfast items, breakfast sandwiches, things like that, that feature all the Riley Foods products, which are all local, which is really neat because it's everything served there is a local product. and it's right around the corner from that Italian place, Gianna, I think.
Yeah. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back with more of the food show after this.
Mandeville Seafood has been a local favorite, serving their house-made roast beef poor boys, seafood poor boys, and even a French fry poor boy in a fast, casual environment. Here is an extensive menu of salads and sandwiches and fried seafood, baskets and platters, as well as sides like stuffed artichokes, meat pies, and jalapeno cheese bites. And we love the very attentive service here at Mandeville Seafood Restaurant and Market, celebrating 25 years.
When you're awake, the things you think come from the dreams you dream. Thought has wings, and lots of things are never what they seem.
Back with the food show on WGSO 990 AM. I'm going to spit out the phone number too, even though the phones are not working. This 504-556-9696, because they come and go. So you might try it and you might actually get through. We're seeing moments where they're working for about 10 or 15 minutes and then they're gone. And right now they're gone, but who knows? They'll be back. Mary Ann's talking about the dining guide, the Gambit Spring Dining Guide that came out. And one of the places on it is the commissary. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but Mary Ann and I really like it. It's the commissary for the Dickie Brennan restaurants. And it's really a cool place. If you've, it kind of reminds me of a smaller scale Eataly or Foodies that used to be, because they have a bar and they serve food. Their burgers are delicious. But they also have refrigerator cases where you can buy stuff like beef stock and seafood stock and the ones that they use in the Brennan's restaurants. I love to go there and have, you know, because that kind of stuff you want to have in your freezer. They also have desserts. They make all the desserts for the Dickie Brennan restaurants there. So they'll
commissary?
Have commissary? Yeah. I really like that place.
I love it.
I know you do too.
Love it. Not the desserts so much. I've not really had any of those, but they're everything else I love. I just absolutely love it.
Yeah, I'm noticing they're on the dining guide, on the Gambit dining guide.
Yeah, it's really good. Meals from the Heart, that's one I don't know. Mamu is there. Louvie. That was one of the hip ones back when, like 2017 or so, which now seems like an establishment place. Hey, there's a picture in here of squid and mushrooms with a sherry gastrique and whipped feta at Pigeon and Whale. Did you go there? No. Yeah. Not likely.
Not likely.
Not likely. Oh, you know, places like Mr. B's on a list like this almost seems... it almost seems like
they put him there.
Like Grand Dame. No, like a Grand Dame, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they've been around that long. Of course, 40 years is a long time, but it's not as long as some others, you know? It's not as long as some others. I'm about to spit out 556, but I am resisting. Who knew that I had that kind of self-control? Yeah, that's it. The list, I don't know. I guess maybe there's a whole bunch of ads that are intermingled with the copy, which is kind of the way it always goes. But I think that might be the end of the list. So, it picks up again. Have you been to Nice Guys? That's over there on
Earhart. No, I haven't been to it. But, you know, I don't know if you read recently, because you've been pretty busy.
Really?
They're taking over... They're taking over the Little Gem Saloon downtown.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
No kidding.
And they're going to make it a brunch place like Nice Guy. Now, that place is always packed. Uh-huh. And there's even been some stories on the news lately that the neighbors are complaining because people are parking in their driveways.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah. But there was an article just about 2 or 3 days ago that said the two guys behind Nice Guys Nola are taking over the Little Gem. And they're going to open it, and it's going to be a downtown brunch spot. Brunch is kind of turning into a big thing, huh?
Yeah, it is. I mean, okay, I'm not my thing, but
mine either.
You know, when things get going, they get going, and they have their moment. Although, you know, brunch is breakfast, so I mean, people like breakfast. I don't know. I feel like they. This one might last for a while. This moment might be extended. But now, see, here's one I haven't heard of, Nudo. But I don't know what that is. Let's see. Yeah, the usual suspects. Oh, Tony Mandinas is here. I love Tony Mandinas. Toops Meadery. Josh will be thrilled about that. Char-grilled oysters at Basin Street Seafood. That's an interesting place. I do, or Basin Seafood, I should say.
Where is it? I've never been there.
Basin Seafood is one of the Baru Group, and it is next to the space that the Besh Restaurant Group owns, but has had a lot of difficulty getting something to stay there. So there was, it used to be the old Amici, which was, owned by Rizzuto's, the Rizzuto's. And then they started their other thing.
Is that on Decatur Street in the quarter?
No, it's not. It's on Magazine.
Oh, okay.
It's on Magazine, not far from Rum House.
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah. And then the, let's see. They had, that was taken, right after that was Warbucks, when the Besh Group bought it.
Oh,
Warbucks.
Yeah, I've been to that place.
Warbucks. That was very brief. And then after that, it became a, I don't think it was sushi, but it was, anybody know what that was, the next thing? And it was, oh, there's a picture of the shrimp toast from Emeralds in here. Anyway, not a lot of really different stuff. I was expecting to see more different stuff, but there isn't a lot in that dining guide. 556, but no, we're not doing it. Can't do it. Okay. It's National Paella Day. Paella Day. Yes. I love paella. It's rarely seen. Have you ever had a paella here? Have you ever had the paella at Lola? I think I asked you that not long ago.
Well, my sister-in-law got it when we went there a couple of weeks ago, and I tasted it, and it was delicious.
Yeah.
It was. You can get it for one, which is really cool, because I always thought you had to, like everybody at the table had to get it, but you don't. You can't.
Well, if everybody at the
one.
Table gets it, your bill's going to be over $200.
Yeah.
Because it was $30, and I thought, boy, that's a really good price. And then I read a little bit further, and it said per person. So,
That's what this was. Hers was, I think it was $36 because she got the seafood one that had scallops and shrimp and something else in it, maybe mussels.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. It was delicious. I tasted it.
It is really good. It's mm-hmm. really, really good. All right, so it's National Paella Day. Paella is catching on, Tom says. I don't know that it's ever really going to catch on, but it has caught on somewhat, I would say. While we have always been able to find a restaurant around New Orleans that serves paella, until very recently, we never needed more than the fingers of one hand to count them. Nor were the ones we found especially good, again, until recent years. With the broadening of all ethnic dining in New Orleans, always... any chef that made the most famous of Spanish rice dishes could be counted on to be very proud of it, enough so that paella is usually the most expensive item on menus that offer it. Paella comes in many forms with a long list of possible ingredients, but it simmers down to this rice, olive oil, and stock, usually chicken. They're cooked in a big pan with poultry, sausages, or seafood, plus peas, beans, and savory vegetables. It's flavored with saffron, if it's a good version. In the cheaper editions, annatto gives the color of saffron, but not the unmistakable flavor and aroma. The dish originally came from Valencia, but now you can eat it in most parts of the world. There is some question as to whether jambalaya is a direct descendant of paella, but it's certainly related by way of the connection between the Spanish West Indies and Louisiana. All right. We are talking about food, as we always do. And it will be another one of those grueling shows for me, because there will be no phone calls. There are no phones. And you will just have to sort of listen to me blather on. I'm sorry about that. Edible dictionary word, tostada. It's a Spanish word. In Spanish, tostada means toasted thing. In Spain, what they mean by the word is literally a piece of toast. But the word took on a special meaning in Mexico, where the items toasted were tortillas. And the method of toasting was frying. At first, this was a method of reviving unfresh tortillas. Then people decided they liked them that way and began making them on purpose and using them to scoop up the food at hand. Beans, rice, cheese, and meat. This evolved into what you would call a nacho. But then the Tex-Mex restaurant got hold of it and began frying the corn tortillas used for border-style tacos. Instead of folding them over, though, they were left flat and used as a base for all the other stuff. Most tostadas are heavy with vegetables and light with meat and cheese and make good appetizers. If you think of them as gigantic nachos, you've about got it, Tom says. All right. I just got a text from Nancy, who said that she's been to Nudo. I do remember her saying that, but I don't know if she gave us a report on the food show. I don't know what Nudo is. Maybe she can explain that. I didn't really get it from the listing. The old kitchen sage says, if a corkscrew turns a wine cork into crumbs, no matter how much you paid for it or how long it's worked properly or how beautiful it is, throw it away. Well, that kind of happened to just about all of the wine corks here at the Coolwater Ranch when I went back to poor Tom. He's collected wine for 30-some-odd years from wineries that came on his show, and he didn't really have anyone to drink it with because I don't drink. So it would be occasionally that he would have some wine when people came over, but people didn't come over too much except at holidays. So the wine that we took out for his 70th birthday party, because we had his 60th birthday at Antoine's, then we had his 70th birthday at Antoine's, and the wine for the 60th birthday was really good. And he got to use so much of that wine. I was really, really happy that he was able to share that really good wine with people who knew wine and cared about it. And there were a lot of enophiles at that party who really, really were excited to be drinking some of those bottles. And then the 70th birthday party, I thought we would have a rerun of that where everybody would be really excited about this wine, but it turned out that just about every single bottle had corks that disintegrated. And so that was the end of that, which is too bad. So now I just assume that the wine that's in there could be used for cooking. And when I do that, I strain the cork out. According to Nancy, Nudo is good pho. Yeah, but she likes pho, so that's all she had. Maybe there's more to the menu, I don't know. Words to eat by, unknown. Rice is born in water and must die in wine. Rice is born in water and must die in wine. Words to drink by, drunk down all kindness, or drink down all unkindness. From Shakespeare, The Merry Wives of Windsor. All right. That's, oh no. You know, I really hate it when we have nothing to offer, including an almanac that's short. It's really a problem. But we will press on. And I'm actually thinking about plugging in another show for the second hour, Patty. Is that doable, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we just go ahead and say that we're going to do that? We're okay. Going to do 1 hour of the show today, and then the other hour will be a recorded show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. I'll do another half hour. But I just, I'm just kind of out of things to talk about. I mean, I'm going to have to go hunt some things down. But we will press on. Gosh, I can't believe it's the end of March. I mean, it is the end of March. It's just mind-boggling, I think. Easter is Sunday. It is also Oranges and Lemons Day. Citrus Day, I guess you could call
what?
It. Yeah, oranges and lemons. You know, sometimes when Tom doesn't have, or when he would, you know, look up and see what the national day, whatever is. And he would make one up. And I guess that's one that he was making up, oranges and lemons. And oranges and lemons day. He has already had three big oranges, Tom says, the day he wrote this, Louisiana naval oranges. There was a long time ago that Tom was really into, well, he's always really been into oranges, but Valencia oranges were a big deal. And then he went into naval oranges. And he would do like three or four per glass, because that's what it takes to get an orange juice glass filled. And I did the same thing. I was starting to do it with grapefruit. But the grapefruit was, I don't know, maybe even less than that. I think to fill like a small glass, I had to do two grapefruit. It was ridiculous. So I aborted that plan fairly quickly. It is almost time for the news from Louisiana Radio Network. It is 2:30. We will be back with more of the food show right after that. So stay with us.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Colleen Crane. A Senate committee approves legislation that gives Louisiana police officers the power to arrest people who are in the United States illegally. Denham Springs Senator Valerie Hodges says the federal government is doing a poor job of keeping immigrants from coming over the southern border. The U.S. Constitution gives states the ability to protect themselves.
Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution says, "The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion." I would argue that this is an invasion.
Huey Fisher Garcia, a staff attorney at the Southern Poverty Law Center, says this law would clog up the state's legal system as state judges are not up to speed on the immigration law.
The reason why our U.S. District judges and our circuit judges don't do immigration law, that's why we have a whole separate legal system for immigration law because of the technicalities of that system.
LRN.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm Miss Louisiana, Mackenzie Scroggs, with a safety message from the Louisiana Propane Dealers. Propane cylinders are safety certified for 12 years, and after that, you must have it recertified or traded in for a new one. And if you make any changes to your tank or appliances, you must have it inspected by a certified propane dealer. And that's the law! Propane is safe, clean, exceptional energy for everyone, and it's a fuel for our future. To find out more, visit LouisianaPropane.com.
I'm Ed Horrell, author of The Kindness Revolution. It's spring break for a lot of schools, and that means a welcome break for teachers across the country. So while they take some much-needed time off, let's discuss a few ways that we can say thanks to them. Let's start with a heartfelt handwritten note waiting for them when they get back, expressing our gratitude for their hard work and dedication. We can also say thank you by giving them a small token of appreciation, maybe a gift card or a personalized item. A third way is by simply saying thank you in person. This is done so rarely and means so much. And lastly, one of the most important ways to show gratitude is by raising a dedicated and engaged student, making these teachers' efforts worthwhile. This is by far the best gift a teacher can have. Let's talk to our children and let them know that.
The solar eclipse is coming in April, and you're going to be hearing a lot about it as it gets closer. You'll also be hearing about how important it'll be to have your solar eclipse glasses for your family and friends. Why not buy them from the store that promotes kindness? Simply go to shop-kindness.com and buy yours today. That's shop-kindness.com. By the way, our listeners get a 20% discount on all items, so head to shop-kindness.com and enjoy the eclipse safely with your family and friends.
I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, madame, with you.
And welcome back to the food show on WGSO.
Okay.
There you are.
Yes. Have you ever seen that movie with Sarah Jessica Parker? I don't know how she does it.
No.
She's a high-powered investment person with two kids and a husband at home, and her life is utter madness. And that's mine, although not in the same details. Not the same details at all. But yeah. Yeah, I just have been thinking that all day. Anyway, Tom says, I want to mention, because we're only going to do a show for an hour that's live, I want to mention that Chisasi ham is something you should definitely get at the store. I say that unabashedly. It is wonderful. It's a silky texture and a beautiful silky texture and a wonderful taste. And it is found at all the delis around town. The Chisasi VIP ham is their signature of the line. It is, it's been followed as part of their line with the bone-in ham, a roast beef, multiple kinds of sausages, and the Schatz chili brand. All of that can be found on their website, ChisasiBros.com, ChisasiBros.com. 115-year-old company, a local iconic company, and we like those. We also have another one that advertises on this show. It is Elmer's Candy, and I'm very excited to be bringing Elmer's Candy to my buddies. And it's because it's another iconic thing. All the kids in this whole area grew up eating Elmer's Candy in their Easter basket. They had three different kinds. They had the pecan egg with nougat inside, like a European nougat. They had, they have the milk chocolate Heavenly Hash, which celebrated 100 years in existence last year. They also have a dark chocolate Heavenly Hash with almonds and marshmallows in it, and now a strawberry one using Ponchatoula strawberries. It is a wonderful thing for your kids' Easter basket, for your own Easter basket, if you have one, it's okay, your grandkids' Easter basket. They also do the brick, the gold brick. I forgot all about that. The gold brick is a big brick of chocolate, which is kind of the same thing to me, filled with pecans. They have a milk chocolate version, the original, and a dark chocolate version. Elmer's Candy, happy Easter to everyone. It is our Easter candy company, one of the two largest chocolate manufacturers in the United States, based in Ponchatoula. It is also over 100 years old, or actually 1940. Yeah, so this, no, it's 110 years old since they took it over. It started in 1855, so it's a really, really old company. I'm about to say 556, but I shan't do it. I shan't do it. So Tom, going back to the oranges and lemons, lemon juice is one of the most useful ingredients in the kitchen. Not only does it have a marvelous fresh flavor, but it's high acidity. It's one of the most acidic foods we eat. It performs all sorts of magic in sauces, as meat marinades, and in keeping things fresh. Orange juice is less versatile, but much underrated as an ingredient. Tom said he's always trying to include it in baking or in orange cheesecake. And in sauce making, orange hollandaise, orange zest and skin adds the unique flavor of orange oil. Although we had three good months of them this year, the season for Louisiana naval oranges is about over for a year. I think they were kind of wiped out, and I don't know that they ever did come back. Tom also says the old kitchen sage, if you jab a wedge of lemon and wipe its juice all over whatever poultry or fish you're cooking, your chances of improving the dish are nearly 100%. Patty, do you use chili powder much in things?
No, not much.
That's right. That's too spicy for you. Although chili powder, I don't find.
Yeah, no, chili powder.
It's just got a heavy cumin flavor.
Yeah. I mean, I use it when I make chili, but I don't do it that often, especially now that it's getting hot.
Yeah. It is getting hot. It's really actually quite hot outside, which was not what it was this morning when we woke up.
No, I know. I had to have a sweater this morning.
It was cold. Tom had a full jacket on this morning, and it's not. It's just like 180 degrees different. It's really, really quite warm outside. Chili powder is another edible dictionary word for you. Finely ground dried chili peppers, usually on the mild side, but sometimes noticeably hot. There is no standard for the flavor. Indeed, ingredients other than chili figure in some chili powder blends, although those made with pure capsicum annuum peppers are the most common. In some chili powders, the methods of drying the peppers give a dark brown color and a smoky flavor. Some use a good deal of cayenne pepper in the mix. These can be very hot. Chili powder is almost identical to paprika, or paprika, as it's called here, including the wide range of possible flavors. Taste chili powder before you use it. Hey, Patty, what are you doing for Easter? No, Tom. No, no, babe.
I'm not sure, because we're going to be in Tallahassee. We're going to be driving home Easter Sunday, so we're thinking about...
Oh, good. So you're going to go spend the weekend?
Yeah, we're going to Tallahassee to see Tara.
Good.
And we'll be driving home on Sunday, so we'll probably do breakfast or something and then head home after that.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's nice.
Kind of low-key. We don't
know. I'm so glad that she's back, so she's driving distance. I mean, it is. It's like 10 hours drive, but by the time you have the annoyance of traveling by air, it's so much easier just to drive if you can drive. It's
absolutely
fabulous. It's 10 hours?
No, it's only about 6 hours to Tallahassee.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? How fast is it? Well, actually, if Destin is 5.5 hours,
it's only about 6 hours.
Oh, that's great,
New Orleans.
Patty.
Yeah, it is.
And I'd be there every weekend, but no one would want me. So.
We might. She's got a swimming pool in her backyard.
Nice. That is so nice. And so she's totally settled in?
Oh, no. She has no furniture, but she's there. Her furniture is coming in.
She's been moving in for months, though, hasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, and it's the same thing you hear from everybody. I mean, the movers pick up your stuff and they tell you when they're coming. And parts of it are there. One or two of the pods are there, but not all of them. So we're going to help her empty out some of her moving pods and get settled in. But we haven't seen her since not this Christmas that just passed, but the one before that. So we're looking forward.
Yeah.
We might just sit around and chat.
By the pool, of course.
Yep, that's right.
Make yourself some margaritas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is her boyfriend, did he come?
Not yet. He probably won't be coming until the summer.
Oh, so she got a Denver person out of Denver.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's very impressive. Well, that's wonderful. I'm so happy for you. That's just, having fam far away is not fun.
No, it's
really
not
fun at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. All right. I want to tell you, let's see, what do I want to, I want to tell you about Pomodori. Pomodori is a wonderful pizza place. It is new in Mandeville. It is in the Home Goods Shopping Center that used to be the old Kmart Shopping Center. It's all the way in the back by the library and not far from what used to be Roma Pizza that we all missed. So we're very excited to have a really delicious pizza place. It's very different, though. It's like a hybrid of Neapolitan pizza and New York pizza. And it takes really the best traits of both of those. Tom, do you need to sit, babe, before you fall? Mm-hmm. Patty, how am I still sane? Am I still sane? I'm not even sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Here you go, babe. Sit down right there. Anyway, Pomodori has a pretty big menu of really delicious pizza. The guy knows how to make pizza. His name is Lee Webb, and he's from Slidell. He is a first-time restaurateur, and I'm always thrilled and impressed to see that, no, Tom, no, no, babe, the Rum House being, I would say, the greatest example, but the really greatest example is the Ruby Slipper. I mean, they are unbelievable. But I think that he is going to do very, very well as a first-time restaurateur. It's really quite delicious. There's about 14 or 15 different kinds of pizza there. There's a couple of dishes that are on the antipasta menu, which are pastas. And there's some salads, but it's pizza and really, really delicious pizza. Pomodori is the name of the place. It is in Mandeville in that shopping center on Highway 22. I think it's the address is 190. So it's that shopping center is on 190 and, well, no, maybe it's 190 and 190. It is 190 and 190. We have a lot of 190s over here. So it's 3555 Highway 190, Suite 34. 39 in Mandeville. You can call them to place an order. It is 985-778-8243. 8243. Oh, wow, what a wild ride it is today. We are going to take a break and be back with more of the food show. Oh, wait, before we go, Patty, I'm reminded as I'm looking at the clock that I pushed the button for the alarm on the atomic clock again.
Oh, you did? So the alarm's going to go off?
It's going to start going off again. Anyway, all right, we'll take a break and be back with more of the food show after this.
Parish Coffee is a small batch, handcrafted blend of carefully selected Central and South American beans, skillfully roasted to produce a coffee that is aromatic when you open the bag, robust when it's brewed, and very smooth and mellow when you drink it. This is a coffee that will take you through the day, a gourmet roast without the gourmet price. Pick up a bag where you shop or go to parishcoffee.com and see the full line. Parish Coffee. Hashtag wake up to Parish.
Keith Young Steakhouse on the North Shore in Madisonville is everything anyone thinks of when a steakhouse comes to mind. The environment is elegant and handsome. The service staff is knowledgeable, attentive, and friendly. And most important, the steaks are superb. The steakhouse sides are also great. Keith Young Steakhouse, 165 Highway 21, Madisonville, 985-845-9940.
I'll take Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island, too.
We're back with the food show on WGSO, 990 AM. Our phones are temporarily back on. If you want to give us a call, you can try it. It's 504-556-9696. They've been coming and going, so you might get through and we might be able to talk to you for a few minutes.
What? Wait, what? What? What?
Well, the phones have been coming and going, and they're on now.
Good. Call 556-9696.
We might be able to get a call in before they go off again.
Let's see if anyone would like to call, if everyone hasn't turned off after this show today, which is pretty outstanding, but not in a good way. I want to tell you about Angelo Brocato. It is a wonderful place, truly unique. I don't think there's another place like it in the whole of the United States. I certainly haven't run into it. Angelo Brocato came here in 1905 with all the other Italian immigrants with a couple of recipes, one for Torrentino, the vanilla ice cream with cinnamon, and almond chips and granita or lemon ice. It's expanded considerably since then. There is Spumoni, all flavors of Italian gelato with real Italian gelato flavorings. There's a Baba rum cake, which is kind of a unique New Orleans dessert. There's tiramisu, Italian cheesecake. That cannoli that cannot be beat anywhere. There is, let's see, in that case also there would be strudel and turnovers. And then in the other case, which is a smaller case around the register, there's slices of baked Alaska. Have you ever had one of those, Patty? They're very, very good.
A baked Alaska?
No, the baked Alaska slices at Angelo Brocato.
Yes, they are delicious.
They're very good. Very
yes.
good. And they have that Italian nougat that I was talking about that the pecan egg from Elmer's is kind of like. And fig cookies, the kind you see on the altars for St. Joseph, and little candies. It's just a really unique, beautiful place. Walk in, absorb some of the old world atmosphere, sit down at a little cafe table, and find something really delicious. It's very easy to do that at Angelo Brocato. They are located at 214 North Carrollton, a block off Canal. Angelo Brocato. Since 1905. 556-9696. I can say it. Is it still working, Patty?
Yeah, so far.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we don't have a caller. Gosh, I would have thought people would just be beating the phones down to call. No. I'm
well, just because they're on now doesn't mean they're going to be on 5 minutes from now. We've learned
yes,
that.
Yes, we're taunting them by saying call. But it would be lovely to talk to someone since we haven't talked to anyone in a long time. It's been, what, all week, huh? This is the third day?
Yeah, it's been since Monday.
Ah, yes. Interesting, interesting week it has been.
So you're heading to Los Angeles tomorrow?
I am. Mm-hmm.
What do y'all have plans for Easter?
Mostly Easter egg hunts.
Well, that sounds like fun.
The kids are little, so Easter egg hunts. And I'm very excited about it.
And you're flying back on Sunday?
I don't know. Because I bought the ticket so late, I have a really expensive ticket, which means I have all kinds of perks, which is if I need to call up and say, get me on the next flight, I can do that.
Good.
And that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. So normally I would not do that, but I think we're in the stage now where I have to do that. That's the kind of ticket I have to buy from now on. So the reason I bought it so late was that there's just too many moving parts in my life. And so I just actually bought it like 2 days ago. So anyway, 556-9696 is the number. And I will be really glad to get out of town. I will say that for sure. All right. What else do we have here? Powder, we started to talk about that.
Yeah, the phones just went off.
Powder. Oh, they did?
Yeah, they just went off. So you missed your chance. If you didn't call us, you missed your chance.
We taunted them. On this day in 1889, the Eiffel Tower was dedicated. Alexandre Gustave Eiffel, I think they could pronounce it, let the French flag fly. Let the French flag fly. Try saying that, Patty. Let the French flag fly. From the tower's summit in the ceremony, it opened to the public about a month later as the entrance to a World's Fair. The tower had a restaurant at the lower platform level until the 1980s, when it was disassembled, packed into containers, and shipped to New Orleans. A new structure was built for it at the corner of Josephine and St. Charles Avenue, where Restaurant de la Tour Eiffel opened in 1985. It did not do well and closed after just 3 years. It's been several other restaurants since, and it's now vacant. I don't think that's true anymore. What is it called now? It might be an office building or something, but I think it was a venue when last I checked. And if you live in that neighborhood or pass it and know what it is, I would like to hear what it has become. One of these days, I would like to talk to Danielle Bonneau about that, because he is the one who was instrumental in setting that up here. And he has moved on. I mean, he had Chez Danielle. And then I think what he's doing now is he's spending half his time in Paris or in France and the other half here. But he takes tours with people. He's like a tour guide of French restaurants. And not restaurants, French culture, I guess, and a lot of dining, like a dining tour of France, I think, is pretty much what he does now. But it's perfect for him because, I mean, that's his thing. He was always a really great chef. Does anyone know where he was before Chez Danielle? That would be a question for Tom. Well, you know what? I'm going to pose it to Tom's spirit, because it's all down here on nomenu.com. So it would probably pop up when I type in Danielle Bonneau. And it's not spelled like Daniel, which is, of course, what it is. So let's see. The restaurant La Tour Eiffel. No, just Chez Danielle. Oh, wait, no. He had Savoir Faire. He was there at one time. Speaking of chefs, fancy chefs, good chefs, Justin Kennedy has a thing coming up on April 4th. Patty, would you see if you can get him and Tori McPhail on the phone early next week? Because it's on...
Sure.
April 4th, the Parkway is having a $100 fundraiser of gourmet food at Parkway, which is going to be kind of eclectic and fun, for their Hogs for the Cause team. They are really into that. And I guess Tori is on that team. And I think Chris Montero is on it. And then two or three other guys. And so it's to raise money for hogs, is how I think it goes. 556, oh, no, sorry. All right, so no. Oh, gosh, that goes back to 2009. John Besh's cookbook party was 2009. You know, it's fun when I put things in nomenu.com. It's fun to just see all the things that come up, because all the things that come up are really interesting, a lot of different things. Let me see if he was at Savoy Fair before Chez Daniel. I know that Susan Spicer was there. Okay, so no, it was not. I don't know. He was. Daniel Bonneau was with Savoy Fair at some point, I guess. Isn't this fun? I'm just like going through, just like reading things and just talking about whatever it is that I read. But it is fun to go through nomenu.com and see all the different things that will come up when you put something in there. It could be an extinct restaurant. It could be something current. It could be a person. But according to Tom, Daniel Bonneau was the main tastemaker for Savoy Fair. His idea was to make it a French bistro, a kind of restaurant not much seen in New Orleans in those days. He placed the day-to-day execution of Savoy Fair in the hands of one of the sous chefs, Susan Spicer. She was one of the lunch cooks at Louis XVI, acquitting herself admirably in the making of hot entree soufflés, among other things. Savoy Fair was the first restaurant Susan led. Eaters at Bayona, where she had been co-owner and chef since 1990, would recognize the restaurant's style and even a few of the dishes. Here already was her signature cream of garlic soup. Savoy Fair was open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Late breakfast there fairly often, and was always surprised. Tom was always surprised to see her there, even after she cooked dinner the night before and lunch and dinner that day, as she still was the most fanatically diligent, and she absolutely was. I left my clock out there. So, Patty, you'll have to count me down. Isn't this a fascinating show? I should have taken you up on your offer to just do the whole show by replay. That's what Christian Garrick did. Did he do that?
He did his show, but he recorded all of his interviews and played his recording. Jeff did the last 2 hours of his show as a replay.
As recorded, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And we're going to replay your interview with the Ruby Slipper at 3 o'clock.
Oh, good. All right, great. I knew we had some good ones, but I just couldn't think of them because I'm, you know, a little distracted at the moment. Well, 556 is what I would say. So I will just say to everyone, as we are winding down the show, what time is it? Never mind. I got like 4 minutes. Tomorrow we are going to have Stu Barish, if he's still going to come in. I have to ask him because he might be afraid because there are no phones. But I think that he's probably coming in with people.
Oh, that's good.
So it will not
be. I feel like we're going to have phones tomorrow because they're coming on and off, and they haven't been doing that for 3 days. So. Mm-hmm. The guys are walking around, you know, saying, does this work?
Diligently.
Like just while I was talking to you, they went off and they've been on for about 5 minutes before then. So I think it's going to happen tonight.
Okay.
I feel good. Confident.
All right. Well, good. Because it's really hard to do that unless you, you know, it's hard to do a talk show if no one's talking.
Talking, I know.
There's, you know, if you're the only one talking, it's a little bit hard to do a talk show. And usually I'm pretty good at that, but it's a little tougher this week. I will say that. Okay, let's see what else is in the offing for the weekend. Anybody else have any, well, I would say anybody else have any plans, but they can't call in and say what they
are. So are you going, is there any place that you're going to go to?
No. No, this is, it's just, you know, I'm going to go do Easter stuff. You know, that's I can't believe I thought for a brief second of taking Tom, which is an absurd idea. But anyway, my daughter looked at me and she goes, are you crazy? Today's the birthday in 1596 of René Descartes. He's a revolutionary figure in both mathematics and philosophy. His most famous utterance gives rise to the good restaurant joke, one that not everybody gets right away. You have to know something about Descartes for that. It seems that he was dining in an elegant Paris restaurant one night. He enjoyed a large, excellent repast. The waiter offered him a dessert on the house. Descartes paused a moment, and then said, "I think not." And instantly he disappeared. All right, that's it. We have Stu Barish in tomorrow. I hope everyone has a wonderful Easter weekend. We will be back on Monday. And hopefully things will be a little settled down. I certainly do hope so. Go to nomenu.com, N-O-M-E-N-U.com. That's where you'll find Tom's 50-year body of work. You will also find new dining diaries, restaurant reviews, 700 recipes. There will be extinct restaurants there, list of open restaurants. Patty just cut me off. WGSO New Orleans. It's time for the news at 3 o'clock. Have fun this weekend. We'll see you back on Monday. Good night.